On this third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday in Latin, which means rejoice. Of course, we wear Pepto-Bismol colors on this weekend. 13 years and I keep having to come up with a joke. I guess I am pretty insecure, you know. I quipped last year, I'm a dude and dudes don't wear pink, you know, that, yeah, whatever. Rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice in this time of anticipation for the coming of our Lord. My dad has been gone now for 21 years. Just shocking how fast time goes. He had just retired, 33 years at We Energies. Had to retire early because of the changes they were making in the company, and he risked losing his retirement. So he retired and he started a little business to help with the rest of his working years until his planned retirement. And just before his retirement, he got news. He had leukemia. Not only did he have leukemia, he had a rare form of leukemia, one that couldn't be cured. Prior to that diagnosis, he had different issues that he was dealing with and didn't seem to have any answers. And so when he went for the testing that revealed his leukemia, there was this fear, or this not wanting to know, but this need to know. Maybe you've been there. You don't want to know the potential bad news, but you got to know what it is. And whether you get good news or bad news, it's all good news in one sense, because now you know. You know the truth. And now you can do something about it. Well, on this Gaudete Sunday, we say rejoice. Why? Because there's good news. There's good news to be had. The good news is, you're a sinner, and there's sin in this world, and so am I. Were you hoping for more? There is more. The good news is, now, if we actually admit of that reality and accept it, now we can do something about it, and there is a physician who can and will and cannot be defeated in that process. He is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, my dad had an incurable form of leukemia, but because he went to the physician and got the truth, he lived longer than anybody else had ever lived with that disease. And they were good years. And now, I have that certain hope of faith that he is eternally cured. And I'll see my dad again. My mom's already had that reunion. Thanks be to God. On Easter Saturday night each year, and I'll put in a plug for it now. Put it on your calendar for this coming Easter. Come to the Vigil Mass. Come to the entire Easter Triduum. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it is glorious. And if you've been there before, you know the routine. We start outside with a fire, we bless the fire, and we light the Easter candle from it, and we process in the dark, and we light the candles, and that light grows and it grows. And then the priest or the deacon gets up here with the Easter candle, newly blessed, newly lit, right here. and we proclaim the exultet. That beautiful Easter prayer. And there's one line in there that's always struck me from the first time I heard it. O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam, which won for us so great a Savior. O happy fault. Do we rejoice in sin? No. Do we rejoice in illness? No. Do we rejoice in suffering? No. Do we rejoice in death? Absolutely not. But in Jesus Christ, all things are made new and healed. Listen to our gospel, the very end of it, again. Here it is, Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. Here's the gospel that our Holy Mother Church chooses for us tonight. John the Baptist says, he will baptize you, speaking of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There's a great desire out there amongst many apologists, many a spiritual writer, to want to portray Jesus as meek and humble in the false sense. That Jesus does not come with judgment. That Jesus does not challenge us. That Jesus does not compel a choice, but that's a false Jesus. That is a false God. Oh, he is all-loving. Absolutely. He is infinitely compassionate. He loves us so much and trusts us so much, he's willing to come among us as an infant. Utterly vulnerable. And he came to us so that we can touch him. But he also loves us so much, he won't give us anything but the truth. And the truth is that sin exists. And it has consequences. The wages of sin is death. That's the truth. And that's the good news. Because if we accept it, now we can move to the one who paid that price for us. But it doesn't mean it's a passive salvation. Have you ever noticed in the Gospels, in all the miracles that Jesus performs, he always has the person who's receiving the miracle or one of their friends or family do something to affect the miracle. You ever notice that? Maybe one that comes to mind off the top of my head, I hadn't really thought about this. But you know the story of the man on the stretcher and his friends can't get him in to see Jesus, so they get up on top of the roof. They let him in, or they let him down. What did that man do for his healing? Nothing. His friends did. But somebody human has to participate. Now, normally it's us. Go to John chapter 20 on that first Easter Sunday night. The apostles are in the upper room with the door locked, and Jesus passes through. He breathes on them, says, peace be with you. Whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. If Jesus did not intend for us to go to a priest for our forgiveness, why did he do that? If I can just go directly to God, why did he do that? It makes no sense whatsoever. No, he wants us to be present and active in our own salvation, but we can't save ourselves. Just like we got to get in the car and drive to the physician, We got to get in the car and drive to the physician. When we do, then we know that we will be healed. I'll leave you with this. This all goes to preparation for Christmas, to prepare the way of the Lord. How? Well, from Zechariah's canticle, which we pray in morning prayer each day, Zechariah, as he's praying over his son at, who's John the Baptist, he's praying over his son at John the Baptist's circumcision. Remember, Zechariah's tongue had been frozen for all that time, for the duration of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Finally, his tongue is loosened, and what does he pray? He prays this beautiful canticle in which he says of John the Baptist, "You will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation. How? By the forgiveness of their sins. The forgiveness of their sins. God indeed is my Savior, we read in our psalm tonight. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. That's how we should approach God's mercy. My strength and my courage is the Lord, not me, it's the Lord. And He has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation." Gaudete, rejoice. God is merciful to those who seek His divine mercy.